Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on July 1, regarding Kathleen, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, Koch, K-O-C-H. I previously evaluated Ms. Koch as described in a report of 2-26-99. Prepared this pertaining to injuries she sustained at work on 6-27-97. Period. I will mark and insert some of this history to put in the current report under the past medical history. New paragraph. Ms. Koch is now a 72-year-old male and reports she was injured at work again on 5-28-20. She was pulling a very heavy metal cart loaded with heavy floral items from the back room to out front. Period. She felt a ripping sensation from one hip to the other. Period. She believes she injured her cervical, thoracic, and severely injured her lower lumbar spine as a result of this incident, but did not go to the emergency room. Period. In fact, she initially sought treatment with a chiropractor on her own. Period. After a brief period, she then went to urgent care and orthopedics all on her own. Period. The orthopedist sent her for an MRI. Period. She then accepted 4 sets of epidural steroid injections. Period. She understands her final diagnosis to be bulging discs with central annular unknown. She completed her course of active treatment on 12-3-21. Period. She volunteered she was injured in a works accident in 1993, also while at ShopRite, but as a result, she had a discectomy done at L4-5. Period. She denies any other injuries from work or to the spine. Period. After the 1993 event, she was out of work for 6 months. Period. She developed a drop foot, but then returned to work in an office with no lifting. Period. She also had an ankle fracture. At a different office. Period. She worked 4 hours per day doing floral work and 4 hours per day working in the office. Period. New paragraph. I will mark from your cover letter the background information to be inserted here. New paragraph. Treatment records show Ms. Koch was seen at AtlantiCare Occupational Health on 6-5-20, alleging she was injured at work on 5-28-20. Period. She had a history of lumbar discectomy and was pulling on a heavy cart and felt a sudden severe lower back pain. Period. It was initially in the lower part of the lumbar region from hip to hip. Period. It was sudden and severe. Period. 1 to 2 hours later, she developed some upper back spasms with neck pain. Period. She denies current radicular symptoms into the extremities or saddle anesthesia. Period. She did see her chiropractor on 5-29-20, but did not have diagnostic studies performed. Period. She then returned to work, but has been having increased pain and difficulties since. Period. She had tenderness directly over L5, and paravertebral tenderness and spasm with moderately restricted lumbar range of motions. Period. There was full range of motion of the cervical spine with negative spurlings. Period. Deep tendon reflexes and sensation were intact. Period. She was diagnosed with a lumbar strain and thoracic myofascial strain, for which she was initiated on conservative care. Period. They referenced x-rays that showed no acute fracture, but did reveal minimal grade 1 enterolisthesis at L4 on L5 without appreciable posterior effect, semicolon, marked degenerative disc disease at L5-S1. Period. They removed her from work, and she was to follow up in 3 days. Period. She returned on 6-15-20, and remained symptomatic. Period. New paragraph on 6/17/20. She was seen by Dr. DeMarat with low back complaints, period. On this occasion, she complained of constant back pain that radiates into both lower extremities, more so on the left. She had a long history of back pain, going back many years. She had a surgical procedure over 20 years ago, which led to her intermittent chronic back pain. Although she states over the last few years, her back pain had been doing well and not requiring any aggressive treatment. Period after the subject event, she became symptomatic, not only in her lower back and extremities, but also in her neck and upper extremities, with numbness and tingling to her hands. Period. Dr. DeMarat diagnosed low back strain in the setting of chronic underlying back pain with intermittent radiculopathy. Period. He ordered therapy, medications, and an MRI. Period. He also kept her out of work. Period. He explained to Kathleen that if she feels her neck complaints are part of the above work injury, she should contact her employer to determine whether this can be evaluated at her next visit. Period. On 6/29/20, she did undergo a lumbar MRI to be inserted here. Period. On 7/1/20, Dr. DeMarat learned she was cleared to be evaluated for her cervical and thoracic spines as well. He referenced her lumbar MRI study. Period history was remarkable for GERD, arthritis, anxiety disorder, heart disease, Lyme disease, asthma, depression, high blood pressure, seizures, hyperlipidemia, and skin cancer. Period she had diffuse tenderness palpation in the cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spines with restricted motion in all areas. Period his diagnostic impression with cervical, thoracic, and lumbar strains and contusions with radiculopathy. Period. She told him that Dr. Glass informed her she was not a surgical candidate. Period. In regard to the lumbar spine complaint, she was going to pursue pain management injection therapy. Period. New paragraph. To that end, she was seen by Dr. Pulser beginning 8/6/20. He then treated her over the next several months. Period. Lumbar epidural was given on 8/28/20, 10/9/20, 10/9/20, facet injections on 1/29/21. Period. She followed up with him running through 11/4/21. Period. At that time, Dr. Pulser found straight leg raising to be positive on both the right and the left. Period. She had dorsiflexion weakness on the right. Period. He evidently discharged her from care as of that encounter. Period. He also noted a CAT scan of lumbar spine from 5/3/21 to be inserted chronologically. Period. New paragraph. She was seen by another pain specialist named Dr. Kwan on 12/7/20 in reference to need for treatment of her lumbar spine. Period. He diagnosed lumbar spondylosis, lumbar sprain, and cervical myofascial strain. Period. In his opinion, the cervical and lumbar sacral spine injuries do not require further treatment or intervention, although the examinee appears to complain about her left-sided neck pain and that it was never addressed. It appears she had a long history of lower back problems with a prior lumbar spine surgery and intermittent back and lower extremity pain. The most recent injury appears to have aggravated her symptoms. Appeared based on her reported response to transforaminal injections to the left side to reduce pain and improve function, he thought Dr. Pulser should continue with lumbar facet injections both for diagnostic and therapeutic reasons. But depending on the response, she would either reach maximum medical improvement or would require medial nerve branch blocks followed by radiofrequency lesions. Period. She was seen neurosurgically by Dr. Mitchell on 3/12/21, period. He did an extensive review of records and evaluation, period. In addition to the spine studies, he referenced a DEXA scan from 2016 that revealed osteopenia. Perhaps she was going to return to her primary care physician under her personal insurance in that regard. Period. On 5/27/21, he reiterated that she remained at maximum medical improvement regarding the cervical and thoracic spines. Period. He referred her to pain management for facet injections and possible medial branch blocks. Period. She was monitored by Dr. Mitchell over the next several months, running through 12/3/21, period. He discussed possible surgical intervention involving L4-5 fusion, but she did not want to undergo such surgery. Period. She was deemed to have reached maximum medical improvement, period. She did undergo lumbar spine x-rays on 5/3/21 to be inserted here. Period. She underwent a CT monogram on 5/3/21 as well. Period. Actually, delete that. It was done with arthrogram dye, just a routine CAT scan. Physical exam. Extremities upper. Bending muscle testing was 5-, for resistant left hand grasp and shoulder abduction, but was otherwise 5/5. The rest of that is normal. Extremities lower. The spectrum revealed venostasis skin changes. More prominent on the left along its medial aspect, period. Deep tendon reflexes were 1 to 2+ on the left, but 2+ on the right. Period. Manual muscle testing was 4/5 for resistant left hamstring and extension hallucis longus strength, with 4- strength for left plantar flexors. Period. Strength was otherwise 5/5 bilaterally. The rest of that section is normal. Spine, cervical. Active flexion was to 30 degrees and extension to 40 degrees, both volitionally limited. Period. Side bending was full to 45 degrees with tenderness, but was full on the left without discomfort. Period. Rotation right was 70 degrees and left 60 degrees. Period. She was tender to palpation in the left paracervical musculature in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the right. Thoracic normal, lumbosacral. She ambulated with a mild limp on the left. Period. She was also able to walk on her heels and toes with a similar gait. Period. She changed positions fluidly and was able to squat to 70 degrees with support. Period. Inspection revealed a longitudinal scar in the midline. Period. She sat at 90 degrees lumbar flexion, but actively flexed to 45 degrees. Period. Side bending right and extension were to 20 degrees, the latter with tenderness. Paired left side bending bilateral rotation were full without discomfort. Paired to tender to palpation at the left sacroiliac joint, comma iliac crest and greater trochanter, but not on the corresponding right side. Paired the rest of that tenderness area is normal. Supine stradlograde maneuver on the right at 75 degrees and left at 85 degrees elicited only low back tenderness. Paired there was a positive reverse flip maneuver on the left and a positive trunk torsion maneuver indicative of symptom magnification. Period. Impressions. Kathleen Koch alleges to have injured her cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spines as a result of pulling cords loaded with plants. Period. When she initially sought treatment, they ascertained a history of prior lumbar discectomy. Period. She came into the orthopedic care of Dr. DeMarat and had lumbar MRI to be inserted here. Period. Dr. Pulser then performed a series of injections. Period. She also saw Dr. Kwan regarding additional treatment, after which she did have additional injections through 2/9/21. She then was seen neurosurgically by Dr. Mitchell on 3/12/21. Period. He noted her course, her long course of treatment to date from earlier spine problems, as well as the recent ones. Period. He then offered opinions relative to additional treatment that she declined, specifically in the form of surgery. Kidney paragraph, the current exam of Ms. Koch found her to be extremely focused on her pain from the outset of the evaluation. Apparently, she uses a cane sometimes on rainy days. Period, she had variable mobility of the cervical and lumbar spines. Period. There were signs of symptom magnification seen in the lumbar spine in particular with positive reverse flip and trunk torsion maneuvers. Period. New paragraph. Ms. Koch's extensive prior spinal history was documented in my earlier reports. Period. From what I'm able to ascertain, the latest incident of 2020 resulted in a temporary exacerbation of these problems, but not a permanent aggravation or acceleration to a material degree. Period. She obviously has continued to age, and this contributes to progressive degenerative disc disease. Period. End.